One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing today to discuss Amendment 4, which is titled Amendment to Limit Government Interference with Abortion. This amendment, if passed and enacted, will allow abortion without restriction, without regulation, without any really, as it says, government interference to, quote, to protect the life of the baby. This would actually allow abortion without any restrictions up until the moment of viability, and would allow abortion up until till birth, actually, to protect the health of the mother. And this is, by the way, not just limited to her doctor making this decision. The abortionist, in many cases, would make this decision, who is going to benefit from killing the preborn child. But also, this could be any healthcare provider. It could be a nurse. It could be a home health provider. It could be a psychiatrist. It could be a psychologist. It could really be any healthcare provider. And there are a lot of healthcare providers. Could be a chiropractor even. There's really the only limit would be that it would be a healthcare provider. And so we're going to look at the Bible. Last week we looked at what is truth, and we looked and we saw that really we should define truth based on God's word. And what we're going to do today is to look about what God says about life, what God says particularly about protecting the innocent, and how we are created and whose image we are created in. And so I'm going to encourage you to adopt, if you don't already have one, a biblical worldview, to adopt God's view of life and the sanctity of human life. But even if you don't do that, even if you reject Scripture, even if you go your own way, even if you say, hey, God doesn't know everything and I'm smarter than God, well, even if you do that, do you want abortion on demand up until the moment of birth? Do you want the abortionist to decide whether it's right to kill a preborn child or not? And we're going to look at the Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man. He created Adam. He created Eve in his own image. And this is a concept called Imago Dei, in the image of God. And your life has value, not just because of what you can do, not just because of what you can accomplish, not just because of what you can bring to the table. Certainly all of that is valuable, but your life has value. Even if you couldn't do anything, your life is still valuable because you were created in God's image. A preborn child has value. A child that is just born, who can't go out and work, who can't say a word, who can't walk, who can't talk, who can't carry his own or her own, that child is still valuable. And at the end of life, our life is valuable as well, because we're created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, we see that This is the very reason why God instituted the death penalty. He instituted the death penalty to protect innocent human life. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. So the death penalty was enacted to protect innocent human life for the very reason that we are created in God's image. You are created in God's image. I am created in God's image. A preborn child in the womb is created in God's image. And God is the one that actually creates us in the womb and forms us in the womb and knits us, as the Bible tells us in Psalm 139. We'll begin in verse 12. And this is a pretty famous passage. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret. When I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So here you see that God was forming the psalmist while he was in his mother's womb. He was knitting him. He was creating him. And he even had a plan for his life. He had a destiny while he was in his mother's womb. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, was called. He wasn't just a bullfrog, as the song goes. But Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, was called to be a prophet from his mother's womb. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So here you see that Jeremiah is called by God as a prophet from his mother's womb. He didn't have to be born. He didn't have to be of a certain age or a certain level of understanding. Before he was born, he was called by God to be a prophet. We see that John the Baptist was actually filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 15, and then later on in 41, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." This is a prophecy about John the Baptist. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." In verse 41, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus Christ at this point was inside of Mary, his mother. Really, at this point, very few people knew that Mary was pregnant. Mary knew that she was pregnant, but she was actually kind of trying to go and hide so that Joseph, who she was betrothed to, wouldn't think that she was playing the harlot. And she was kind of trying to figure things out and trying to see what was going to happen. As she comes with baby Jesus in her womb, Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist in his womb, senses the Messiah, Jesus Christ, still in Mary's womb. And he leaps in his mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't specifically say whether John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit at this point, but we do know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, and it's very likely that he was filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. By the way, this is interesting because you know that the Holy Spirit was actually poured out upon mankind on the day of Pentecost, which was after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when the disciples had tarried and they had waited, and they were waiting for this promise of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was actually poured out on a few select people, including Elizabeth and including John the Baptist, while John the Baptist was still in his mother's womb. We see also that the Savior was called from the womb. In Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 5, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." So obviously Jesus, even the Bible even tells us before the foundation of the world that God had destined for him to come to the earth. But from the womb, he was called by God, from the womb. The Apostle Paul also was called while in the womb. And Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16 says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son to me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." So if you know the word of, or the work of the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul before God changed his name to Paul. He was actually persecuting Christians and agreeing to put them to death. When Stephen was stoned, he was there. He was holding their cloaks. He was in approval of the stoning of Stephen. Yet, despite all of that, he had been called by God from his mother's womb. From his mother's womb, God had called him and had separated him. And when it was the right time, God actually called him unto salvation, set him free, and actually used him to be a mighty voice to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And you see also that David said that he was a sinner from his mother's womb. In Psalm 51, verse 5, we read, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And when you consider this, that David was a sinner from conception, you can't have sin unless you're a person, unless you're a human, unless you have, unless you're alive. And Planned Parenthood will tell you that a preborn child is a blob of tissue, that a preborn child is not a person, that a preborn child doesn't deserve a life, that a preborn child is just a clump of cells. Yet what is happening is when they perform an abortion at Planned Parenthood, they actually take the arms and the legs and the head and the torso, and they assemble them on a surgical pad to make sure that the abortionist got all the pieces of the baby, of this human being. And in chemical abortions, which are a newer type of abortion, women are actually having delivering a dead baby on their own toilet, and the blood is washing off as the baby drops into the water, and they're actually seeing a developed baby. They're seeing a torso. They're seeing arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and toes, and they're seeing a head. They're seeing a baby human being. And so Planned Parenthood may say this is a blob of tissue. This is just a clump of cells. But they're lying to you. And those who support Amendment 4, including Planned Parenthood, are lying about Amendment 4 as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. And so this is why David could be a sinner in his mother's womb, even though he hadn't committed good or bad yet. He had this seed of Adam. Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, all of us have that seed of sin. And because of that, every single one of us are sinners in need of repentance. Every single one of us need to repent of our sins and cry out to God and call unto Him and ask Him to cleanse us from our sins, ask Him to deliver us from our sins, no matter what you've done, even if you have been involved in abortion, whether you've actually gone to an abortion clinic and paid for your girlfriend or your wife to have an abortion so that your child could be ripped limb from limb, so that your child could be brutally killed, so that your child can be killed by chemical abortion or however, whatever method of abortion, or you were the mother that actually participated in the death of your own child by paying an abortionist to kill your baby. Whether you were a grandparent advocating and encouraging the death of your own grandchild, saying you're not old enough yet to have a child, regardless of ignoring the fact that the child already existed, and actually encouraging the death of your own grandchild. Whether you actually worked in an abortion clinic, or maybe even were an abortionist, you need to repent of your sins, cry out to God, and ask God to forgive you of that sin, to wash away that sin. And repentance doesn't just mean asking God to forgive you. It means actually turning from your wicked ways, turning from sin, turning back to God, and obeying God, going your way and sinning no more, as Jesus told instructed the woman who was accused of committing adultery. When we've heard a lot in the last 4 years about trusting the science, and trusting the science is the science actually lines up with God's word as well. And so with God's word, what you have is the truth that we are created in God's image, that every innocent human life should be protected. And science backs this up, that human beings are humans from the moment of conception. In fact, when conception happens, there's actually a burst of light that happens. And what was a part of a man joins with a part of a woman and becomes a one-cell human being. And with fertilization, what you have is this new life beginning. And then that one cell divides into two, and the two divide into four, and the four into eight. And God is knitting and forming this baby in the mother's womb. Dr. Jaime Gordon from the Mayo Clinic said, by all the criteria of modern molecular biology, life is present from the moment of conception. Dr. McCarthy DeMure from the University of Tennessee said this: the exact moment of the beginning of personhood and of the human body is at the moment of conception. Planned Parenthood calls preborn baby girls and boys blobs of tissue. But as you can actually see from medical science, human beings are created in God's image, are created from the moment of conception. Dr. Jerome Lejeune, the father of modern genetics, said this: I see no difference between the early person that you were at conception and the late person which you are now. You were and are a human being. At no time is the human being a blob of protoplasm. The term fetus, this is commonly used by Planned Parenthood and abortion advocates to dehumanize the preborn. But really, fetus, from the Merriam-Webster's Medical Dictionary, means a developing human form, usually 3 months after conception to birth. So this is really describing a developmental stage. You know, toddlers don't cease to be humans, or we don't say that toddlers aren't humans because they're toddlers. We don't say that infants aren't humans because they're infants. And a preborn child in the womb, whether that at whatever stage of development that child is a human being and worthy of protection. On day 7 of fetal development, the tiny human being implants in the mother's uterus. By the way, the American Medical Association has actually redefined conception to be implantation. So when the baby implants in the mother's womb, they're saying that that is conception. But by the way, that's not conception. That's fertilization and conception should be synonyms. And actually, what we're talking about is the sperm fertilizing the egg. And this one cell human being actually comes about at that time. And by the way, the reason they're redefining this is to allow for human life to be created, to be experimented with, as scientists have made glow-in-the-dark human beings. Scientists have made other mixing cow and animal genomes. The glow-in-the-dark humans were made by mixing a portion of a jellyfish with a human embryo. And by the way, they destroyed these human beings a few days later. We shouldn't be experimenting on human life. Day 21, fetal development, the baby is now pumping her own blood through separate closed circulatory system with her own blood type quite often. Day 28 of fetal development, the eyes, ears, and respiratory system begin to form. Day 42, brain waves are recorded, reflexes present, the skeleton is actually complete. At week 7, the preborn baby sucks her thumb. At week 8, all bodily systems are present. Paul E. Rockwell, M.D., was handed a baby at 8 weeks gestation. The baby swam in the sac approximately one time per second. When the sac was opened, the tiny human being immediately lost his life. And one person on Twitter said this: I was blessed to go to the ultrasound for my next grandbaby at 10 and a half weeks. Was amazing to see all the movement and features. And by the way, the ultrasound technology today is so convincing and so much more advanced than it was in previous times. And it actually testifies to the life that is in the mother's womb. On week 11, the baby has fingernails, spontaneous breathing movements. All bodily systems are working. At week 12, the baby weighs 1 ounce. At week 16, Genital organs are clearly differentiated. Grasp with hands, swims, kicks, turns, and does somersaults. At week 18, vocal cords work and the baby can actually cry. At week 20, the baby weighs 1 pound and is 12 inches long, has hair on her head. At 20 weeks of pregnant with twins. This, by the way, is a story from Life Site News that the Orlando Women's Center, which advertises, by the way, that they perform late term third trimester abortions. Even today, there was a woman that was 20 weeks pregnant with twins that actually had an abortion there. At 23 weeks, a 15% chance of viability outside of the womb if born prematurely. And at 25 weeks, the baby then has a 79% chance of surviving outside if born at that point. We actually know a doctor who used to be a board member of Personhood Florida, Dr. Lyle, who has actually done surgeries on babies, actually does surgeries on babies inside the mother's womb because they are a patient too. And when we look at the Bible is clear that human life begins at the moment of fertilization. We are created in God's image. Science is clear as well that we are created and human life exists right from the moment of fertilization. And every innocent human life should be protected. But even if you reject the clear teaching of Scripture and the clear testimony of science, you still should reject Amendment 4 and vote no on Amendment 4, because Amendment 4 will allow for abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
You clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever